Amen. I'm going to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians today. We're going to jump into the Word of God. And I'm continuing from the sermon series and topic, A Righteous House, having a righteous house. And this is something I felt very strongly about and led to speak about. And as although such a biblical topic, the idea of righteousness can even be twisted by some people that they want to put a word in front of righteousness, self-righteousness. And the accusation is, well, you're being so self-righteous. You're being self-righteous comparing yourself to other people. So let me just reiterate that the foundation of our righteousness is not our good works. It's the grace and mercy of God that we respond to. And so I never want us to lose that. But again, I just want to challenge you. Don't let the person that you want to be remain stuck in your mind. Let it come out in your habits. Let the righteousness you desire come out in what we are and what we do. It's good to have the Gordons in the house today for the first time. Jacob and Melena Gordon. Sister Gordon, glad to have you. They just got back from their honeymoon to Africa. I'll let them tell you the story if you want to ask. But thankful that they're here. Welcome back. Glad to have y'all. But we're going to look today in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 12. And I'll explain this passage because jumping right in, it's kind of interesting. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12, King James says, "But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we." What he's saying is, he's talking about people that are false preachers. He says, listen, I'm going to continue to preach. I'm going to continue to do what I've always done because this will separate and undercut me from the people that do this for their own glory. He's like, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And then he goes on to say, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." And he says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness." It says, "whose end shall be according to their works." What he's saying is, listen, they're deceitful. They disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. I'm not surprised, though. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Why would they do any different? So it's no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. It says in the end, they'll get the punishment they deserve. So what we see, the devil, his biggest thing, you know, what does he do? He lies, he deceives, and he disguises. He wears a disguise. So my message title today is Masked Monsters. Masked Monsters. You can be seated today. And I just want to tell you that I feel continually drawn and stirred in my spirit that I'm going to challenge you today with the Word of God. I'm going to press you. I'm going to prod your mind. I'm going to poke at your heart, and I want to challenge you with some things. And if you're a guest with us today, I promise that I'm nice. Keep coming back, and I will be even nicer in the coming weeks. But I really do feel just compelled in my spirit to continue this because I want us to have a righteous house. You know, monsters are a big topic of conversation in the Bernard household. We have three children. We have Claire, who's 7, Elise is 5, and then Christian is 18 months. And number one, the girls call Christian our monster, like he's the little monster. He is at the age, he's in monster mode, he's in destructo mode. If there is something that he can get his hands on that is liquid or yogurt or something that he can pour out in an interesting way, you know, you just see the look in his eyes when he wants the yogurt pouch, and my wife will open the yogurt pouch and you can just see it. It's like, you do not intend to consume this yogurt pouch. You intend to paint with it. And you know, we did it to ourselves. Okay, we decided to have a boy. Well, the Lord decided, but we decided to have a child. And we also decided to have white couches, which I love, babe. They're great. Love the couches, loved it. But you can just see in his eyes. He'll get that plum, I'm telling you, the prune pouch. I know when he's got the prune pouch, it's game over. Okay. We're getting out the steamer. We're getting out the Tide pin. He's our little monster. He just runs around, does what he wants. And I love him. He's the best. But then Claire and Elise, you know, conversation of monsters. They, They're thinking about monsters. Are there monsters when they go to bed? You know, they're close the closet door because there's a monster in there. There's a monster under my bed. And we put Claire and Elise in the same room. They sleep in beds next to each other. So that really has mitigated a lot. What's funny, though, is Elise, more than she's scared of monsters, she's really more scared of, like, being alone. Like, she doesn't want to be alone. But even her perception of that is if Claire is asleep, Elise is, she says she's alone. And she is so expressive, Elise is. But what she'll do is if she knows that she's trying to express to us that she's distraught, but she's not actually distraught, she'll just add the distraught noise at the end of the sentence like another word. So she's not really crying, but she wants you to know that it's really a big deal. So she'll say something like, Claire was mean to me, wah. Like she'll add that like it's the end of a sentence. So we're like, you're not fooling us. But, you know, she'll be like, Claire is mean to me, wah. But so what she'll say is, I don't want to be alone, wah. And I'm like, Elise, Claire is, she's right there. She's like, yes, but she's asleep. I went in the other night, and Claire's the kind of person where she reads her book, she has a little reading light. But when she decides now is the appointed time for sleep, she goes right to sleep. Like she is done, and she's out, and she's just laid out sleeping. Well, Elise comes and gets me, and she's like, I'm alone. I'm like, no, you're not. I go in there. Claire's sleeping, and Elise looks at me. She goes, Dad. Claire looks a little bit dead. She's fine. I poke Claire. She rolls over. But and then Claire, when she was younger, as the first kid, you know, she was the first child. And, you know, so it was monsters. There's monsters in the closet. There's monsters under the bed. And as they get older, obviously, as they understand more about life, they recognize, and even them being in the same room, they recognize that these monsters, the things that they made such a big deal of, are actually, there's nothing there. It's actually a very small and minor thing. It's a wonderful thing about kids as they mature. The things that they thought were such a big and scary deal in actuality are not very terrifying at all. But I bring this to you today because I really think that as we become adults, as we get older, we almost embrace the reverse reality that children have. Children will make a big thing out of something that actually is not a monster at all. It doesn't bring any danger, nothing wrong with it. It's just your perception. But as we get older, if we are not careful, there are some things that we will allow into our life, allow into our routine, allow into our habits that are a big deal, that are a really big deal to God and should be a big deal to us, but we minimize their impact. It's almost as if we allow these quote-unquote monsters into our life, but because they wear a tempered mask, we allow them to continue and to remain. So today, what I wish to do, just a few moments, is I want to try to take the mask off of some unhealthy and unholy things that we are all susceptible to if we are not careful in our life. And as I spoke last week, if you weren't here, weren't at church, I want to encourage you to watch the other sermons in this series because they somewhat tie together. But we talked about this idea that sometimes when we guard our house, as it were, there's some things that we have to stop from getting in, that we have to keep out. But there's also some things within us that we have to stop from getting out of us that's already on the inside, that it's our job to protect everyone for, because there's some broken things within each and every one of us. And so there's some masks that I want to take off today to show you some things that we need to address in our spirit. The first one, that if we're not careful, we will all wear and we will all place onto our behaviors and place onto unhealthy things in our life, is the mask of justification. And what I mean by that, you can say this in a very biblical term, but I'm talking about us justifying our actions. And let me speak to parents with children at home. You know, I think sometimes if we're not careful, if our children are misbehaving, if they're doing things that we know they shouldn't, if we're trying to discipline them and the day just spirals out of control and it just, you know where that line is, where they've done something and it's almost like the rest of the day just explodes and you have this, you know, whether it's a, you know, knockdown drag out, as that's what we say in the South. I don't know if you say that up here. I had a knockdown drag out. You know, where you're actually not, just for, because we're streaming this, not actually knocking down, dragging your, okay, figure of speech. But you just have, you say, well, I was just fighting all day. But the problem is we will blame and justify everything that happened because, well, my kids were behaving badly. But the truth is, as parents, I will say as a father, I cannot justify my impatience by saying my kids are behaving badly. Yes, my kids are misbehaving. But the truth was, the root of it is I am impatient. Why is it so easy to be patient with a friend and so difficult to be patient with our own children? Why is it so easy to be patient with a coworker and impatient with our spouse? Why is that the case? Because there's something within us that we justify our actions. But if we justify it, we put a mask onto our own sin, into our own things that we do. So I've got to understand, as a parent, I've got to make a decision. You know what? I've got to stop justifying some of the things that aren't unhealthy inside of me just because they did something wrong. If you ever make a statement, you ever make this statement, well, I didn't mean it. So what that means is you can do whatever you want as long as sometime in the future you come back around and say, well, I didn't mean it, right? No, you're justifying a poor action and trying to cover it up and put the mask on the ugliness that lives inside of me, right? Or I did this, I talked about this last week. Well, I only did that because you did this. All of a sudden now, we're saying that our actions are just relative to what someone else did. What does the Bible say, though? What are we supposed to do to people that curse us? Bless them. What do we do to people that hate us? We're supposed to love them, okay? Well, I know, but they curse me and no, bless them. Well, yeah, but they, no, bless them, right? There's a simple command. There's an absolute command. The posture of our actions is an absolute response to what God did for us. So let me just tell somebody today, I'm just going to push you to take off the mask of justification and say, you know what? No matter what they do, no matter what my spouse says, even if they're harsh with me, I'm going to love them. How can I expect my kids to be patient and long-suffering if I'm not willing to be patient and long-suffering with them? I'm telling someone, you got to stop justifying the things that you do that are unhealthy just because somebody else may have some unhealthiness in them. No, we've got to rise above that and say, Lord, I want righteousness. I don't want to just be a little bit better than someone else. I want to be righteous. I want to have a right posture. Even if they do the wrong thing, I'm going to do the right thing. Even if they make a mistake, I'm going to endeavor to do the right thing. So the next time you say that, well, I didn't mean it. Well, I did this because of that. We need to understand I am putting on a mask of justification. I need to take responsibility for who I am and what I am doing. The next mask I want to tell you is the mask of normal. Well, that's just normal. That's just the way the world is. That's the way things are. Right? Romans 12, verse 1. If I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Amplified Version says, don't be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs. The New Living says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. Basically, what it's trying to say is stop looking at what the world says is normal and just say, well, if everyone thinks this is normal, then I guess I'm just going to do that. I want to stand before you today and say at some point, you've got to reject what's normal and say, God, what is righteous? I refuse to just go along with everything that this world wants to feed me as normal, and I've got to stand for something and say, you know what? I'm not going to copy all the customs of this world. I'm going to stand for myself. Let me just talk to parents. When your child at a young age is asking for a phone or access to the internet in a private way, and you feel the pressure, why? Because they say, well, all my friends have this. Mom, Dad, this is just normal. I want to tell you that something needs to rise up in your spirit and say, I'm not concerned about what is normal. I'm concerned about what is righteous, because I've got a responsibility to keep my house a house of righteousness. So parents, don't bend to the peer pressure of what's normal for the rest of society, but stand in the face of what's normal and say, this will be a house of righteousness. I want to give you that strength today. I'm not here to overrule your specific parenting method or practice, but I'm here to tell you it's okay to choose righteousness over peer pressure. It's okay to choose what's right over what seems normal. And let me just tell you the weighty thing with me is this is the way I view it. Don't forget that if you are not careful, It is not access to the world that you are giving to your child. It is access to your child that you are giving to the world. I think this paradigm has changed. For me growing up, it was, I want you to be careful what you do and see because I don't want you to see the wrong thing. I don't want you to accidentally access the wrong thing. This is my personal opinion. I think the danger of our day is this. It's not even so much that your kids will come across the wrong thing. It's that there is something out there or someone out there. I'm not trying to sow a seed of fear, but there are people out there that are trying to get access to your children. So I just want to stand up and be one among many voices, hopefully, to say you've got to make a decision. The world is not going to have access to my 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old. I'm going to put some barriers in my door that says you're not getting into this child. You're not getting private access to my child. You're not going to be getting in this house where you can say anything, do anything. No, we've got to put a guard at the door. I'm not saying stick your head in the sand. I'm not saying keep your kids locked away and lock the doors and stay scared. I'm not saying that. We're called to be bold and courageous. We're not called to have a spirit of fear. But I'm saying you've got to rip the mask off of what other people would call normal because they may not be pursuing righteousness. But we are a kind of people that we want righteousness over the fact that we want our kids just to have everything else in the same way the world does. No, we want righteousness. Why? Because I want my children to see heaven. I want my entire home to be with Jesus one day. I want to follow righteousness. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for my family, we will follow righteousness. We see this. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness. It's not, I know it's normal to scroll on your phone for hours. We've normalized that. But let me just remind you, social media was never intended to meet the desires of your heart. It was made to profit off of them. If you're looking at the end of the day for social media to fill some void, it's not there to fill the void. It's there to profit off to the void that's there. I'm telling you to rip the mask off what seems normal, that this is not detrimental. And listen, you may be looking at me even right now and say, man, this is kind of hard. This is kind of difficult. You seem to be preaching against everything. The point is not to preach against everything. It's to preach for the right things. It's to say, if we'll put the right things in place, I don't have to preach a bunch of rules. I don't have to preach a bunch of regulations. Why? Because our desire is righteousness. And if we desire righteousness, then we'll filter out that which is unholy. We'll filter out that which is unhealthy for us because we're pursuing righteousness. So there's a mask of justification. You justify my own actions. I do it. We all do it. If we're not careful, we'll get bound to it. We got to rip off the mask of what the world calls normal. This is just so normal. And another one, you have to take the mask off of entertainment. I am here to tell you that the entertainment of our world is lust in a cheap mask. I want to tell you as directly and as clearly as I can, I truly believe with all of my heart that what the world calls entertaining is just lust in a cheap mask. And 2 Timothy 2:22, you want to talk about righteousness. It says, flee also youthful lust. Doesn't say entertain. It doesn't say figure out where. No, it says flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness. Lust and righteousness are in opposite directions, and you are running in one of those two directions. I'm trying to tell somebody that tonight, to run from lust and run to righteousness. We all struggle with lust. It's a condition of the human soul. And you can call me old school, but now when I look at the streaming services, pick your streaming platform of choice. There are now no rules, no regulations. So when you can get on there, you can see anything, hear anything. There's no restrictions. So don't tell me it's just my favorite way to unwind when really you are allowing lust in a cheap mask to infiltrate your home, infiltrate your mind, infiltrate everything that you watch. I'm not trying to preach against things. I'm trying to take the mask off of it today and stand before you and say, you've got to wake up and understand, God, I don't want to run after lust. I don't want to run after what the world runs after. I want to run to righteousness. I want to run to righteousness. Listen, I'm not even trying to say you shouldn't watch movies or you shouldn't do this or you should do that. What I'm trying to tell you is that if you are not careful, Hollywood will keep the mask of entertainment securely on the monster of lust, pride, and filth. Young adult, I'm trying to tell you today, I know that you've moved out of mom and dad's house and you love film and you love cinematography and you enjoy all those things. And yeah, you can joke, well, when I grew up, we could only watch this. And now you've said, well, look, I'm doing A, B, C, and there doesn't seem to be any consequences. I'm good. But then when you come into a church service and you can sit through an entire service and feel nothing, do nothing, engage with nothing, and then you wonder, I wonder why I didn't feel anything at church. Let me tell somebody today that you have allowed lust to infiltrate your mind and your spirit, and you have disconnected yourself from the righteousness of God. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I want to convict somebody. Condemnation is when you hear the word of God and it pushes you away. Conviction is when you hear the word of God and it draws you close. I'm telling you today, I know that you want to feel the presence of God again. I know that you want a close relationship with Him. But as long as you are allowing lust to sit right there in your bedroom with a mask on, you are never going to have the things that God wants you to have, because righteousness and sin cannot live in the same household. I'm calling somebody today to wake up and realize that there are some masked monsters in your house and in your home. I know you want to come to church and wonder why you can sit through an entire service and feel nothing, engage with nothing, and not even feel bad about it. It's not because God is not real. It's because you're living with a monster, a masked monster inside your own home. And some will say, well, man, this sounds like a lot of rules and regulations. And I know that man looks at the outward appearance, but God knows, God looks at the heart. God sees my heart. But we use that as a mask of justification. And that comes from 1 Samuel 16, when Samuel saw all the sons of David that seemed high in stature and said, surely this is the right one. And God said, no, I know they look the part, but don't look at their stature, because man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. But we use that as a mask of justification. But look what Jesus says in Matthew 5. Jesus says this in Matthew 5, 27, you've heard it was said of them at old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. I know you said that was the rule. Do not commit adultery. That's the action. That's the outward thing. He says, you know what I say? But I say unto you, whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. What is he saying? He said, yeah, I'm concerned about your actions. But what we're talking about is a heart issue. This is an inside issue. So you want to say man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart? Yes, he does. And he's concerned with the posture of your heart. Not only does he want your actions to be righteous, he wants your heart to be pure. What good is it if I do all the right things, but my heart is full of filth and vile and these terrible things? What good is it if I stand behind this pulpit, wear a nice suit jacket, and preach the word of God, if I go home and I'm hateful to my wife and harsh to my children? What's the point if I'm not righteous? What's the point? I don't want to wear a mask in front of you today. I want to say, yes, I'm imperfect. Yes, you're imperfect. But we can take the mask off of the things in our life and say, God, if not for your grace and your mercy and your love, I'm never going to make it. But Lord, I need your love. I need your long-suffering kindness. I need your mercy. I need your grace today. But if you never take the mask off, you'll never see it for what it is. You'll never see it for what it is. And the final mask I want to tell you about today, we wear the mask of justification. You got to stop justifying the ugliness in your own words and actions because of what other people do. I know I'm passionate today. You've got to understand. You've got to take that mask off. You've got to take off the mask of normal. Just, well, this is what everybody does. It's just the way the world is now. I reject that. I think it's a mask over some unhealthy things that we've allowed into our life. You got to take off the mask of entertainment. Hey, there's some things that, are they entertaining? Yes, of course they're entertaining. They've spent millions of dollars to make it as entertaining as possible. But they don't want the same things you do. They don't want a righteous house like you do. And you're trying to build a righteous house. We're trying to build something that will last for eternity. We have to take off the mask of entertainment. And the last mask that I want to talk about today that we wear so well is the mask of tomorrow. The mask of tomorrow. James chapter 4, verse 13 says like this, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. I want to speak to the young crowd. I'm going to include myself in the count. I'll say under 40. Growing up, you hear people a lot of times say, hey, I'll see you at lunch. And their response would be, Lord willing. You ever hear somebody say that? Lord willing. They're not being funny. They're not making a joke. They're keeping eternity on their mind. Why do they say that? Because someone says, yes, I'll be 40 next month. They'll say, I'll be 60 next year. Lord willing. What they're trying to say is they're trying to put a perspective into their vocabulary. They're saying, you know what? Yeah, I've got some plans, but it's only by the will of God. If I do see tomorrow, it's because the Lord wills that I see tomorrow. But the problem is we wear the mask of tomorrow. Now, let me talk about in a practical sense. This is what we do. When we make a mistake, think about the last time you have mishandled your day. You've mishandled the conversations with loved ones. You've mishandled the situation with your children. You've mishandled a conflict with your spouse. You made a mistake. You did something wrong. If we're not careful, the way that we'll sleep at night is by saying this: I made a mess of everything, but I will do better tomorrow. Now, there is truth. God gives us new mercy for every day. There's grace for every day. We can do better tomorrow. I'm not negating that, but this is what I'm trying to say. If you use these phrases in your life to justify or to make, you know, to settle or to resolve your own inaction, to resolve your own bitterness, to resolve your own improper words or mishandling of situations, if you say things like, I will do better tomorrow, or next time I will do better. If you do those things, next time you say that to yourself, next time you use a justification like that, I hope that my words can ring in your ear with this point. At some point, delayed action becomes inaction. You are calling your inaction delayed action. But as long as you push it off to tomorrow, you can be comfortable enough not dealing with the unhealthy and unholy things in your life. Right now, if you're struggling with an addiction and you drink again and you drink to yourself to excess and you smoke again or whatever the case may be, and you find yourself saying, I can't believe I did it again. Next time I will say no. Just remember that at some point your delayed action is becoming inaction. And I'm here to tell you, as the writer said in James, your life, he's like, it's just like a mist. It's like the morning fog. When you wake up, there's a little bit of fog, and then all of a sudden it's gone. Now listen, I'm not trying to speak fear into your life. Yes, there is a point. There is a shock factor that should remind us. Nobody is promised tomorrow. You've got to make a decision today. God, I want to be right with you. But the point is not you live. I don't want you to live in fear. You don't live like that every day. But the point is, you know what? I do need to honor God in the way that every single day, if it was my last day, I could walk with confidence. I could walk with peace. I could walk in a way that would be upright before the Lord. That needs to permeate the way. If this is the last time I spend a day with my wife, Lord, let me manage my day well. I'm not living out of fear, but it's a commitment that, Lord, if today's my last day, let today be a righteous day. If today's the last day I have an opportunity to do something for you, let me make the most of my day. So I want to just tell somebody, stop living behind the mask of tomorrow. And let me tell somebody, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, if you've never received the gift of the Holy Spirit, if you are living in sin, if you are living with decisions that you know are against the Word of God, stop hiding behind the mask of tomorrow. It says in Mark chapter 1, today the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. I do want to tell you that today is the day to get right with God. Do not put it off for another single day. I'm not trying to speak fear. I'm trying to be real and tell you that nobody is promised tomorrow. Today is the day you need to say, you know what? I'm sick of deferring it to later. I'm sick of putting it off. I'm ready to be right with God. I want to do the right thing today. I want to do the righteous thing today. Stand with me today. Matthew 25, Jesus drives this point home, and he talks about it this way. He tells the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. You know the story. Basically, there were five of these bridesmaids that they had lamps that needed to be lit, and five of them did not bring enough oil. They were not prepared. And five of them, they came prepared. They brought oil, they brought extra oil, and that no matter what, when the bridegroom came, they would be ready. But in the middle of the night, the five ones that the Bible said were foolish, they said, well, we don't have enough oil. Well, we just give us a second. We got to go, and we got to go get ready. They were not ready, so they had to go get ready. They were like, we're going to go buy some oil. And this is what it says in Matthew 25, verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. These four words should send a chill down my spine. The door was shut. He talks about Noah when he built the ark. It says when Noah and his family went into the ark, that salvation, when the earth was about to be flooded, he said, and the Lord shut them in. The door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered them and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Then he comes out of the parable and he says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. I'm telling somebody today, you are wearing the mask of tomorrow, saying, you know what? I will fix my eternity tomorrow. I will deal with this unresolved sin in my life tomorrow, because it feels good today, and I can always handle it tomorrow. Can I tell you, that is a monster in a mask, because it will always keep you from dealing with the things that God has called you to deal with today. I recognize fully that my sermon today has been very direct, very straightforward. And the reason, again, if you're new and you may wonder, man, it seems like you're preaching against a lot of things. I have no desire to be the police over your life. What good would that be? You may put a list out there. Hey, these are all the movies that I researched this week that I think are bad for you to watch. There's a list in the front. Please go to the foyer and get a list of things. No, that would be ridiculous, right? No, I know that you are a mature Christian, that you're trying to honor God, that you can look at the principle that says, set no evil thing before my eye, and you can make wise choices. I'm not saying that. This is what I am saying. Let's go back to the top. What are the enemy's weapons? Lies, deception, disguise. I'm not trying to tell you you're breaking the rules. And No. That's the whole point, though. It's not about rules. It's about a relationship with God and pursuing Him. I use it all the time. I don't ask my wife, hey, if I don't come home tomorrow night, will you divorce me? That'd be a fool. The question is wrong. The paradigm is wrong. Of course, that's not the way it works. I love her, so I'm going to do things that please her. I don't try to find where the line is and then live right there. No. But the whole point is this. I preach this message to you, not because I'm saying you're doing a bunch of wrong things. I'm saying if you are not diligent, an enemy in disguise will slip past the guard that you have set in all of your best intentions. Could it be that there is a mask of justification that you wear over your own unholy or unhealthy habits? And you need to take that off today and say, if you say things like, well, I only did this because they did that. If your behavior is relative to other people, you are wearing a mask of justification. God has called us to live a certain way regardless of what other people do. And you've got to make a determination in your mind. There's some things that I'm going to do, say, and live by. And no matter what you do, you will not shake me from my decision. Husbands, you need to have that commitment in your mind. You know what? There's some things I will not speak to my wife. There's some words that will not escape my lips, regardless of what is said. Wives, there's some decisions you need to make, even if you are in a relationship. And listen, I'm not advocating staying in an abusive relationship. Please don't make more of my point than what I'm saying. I'm not saying stay in an abusive relationship. What I'm saying is make some commitments in the context of my marriage. You know what? Even if he pushes my buttons, there's some things I'm just not going to say, because it's not relative to what he does. This is who I am, because I'm going to pick righteousness, because of what the Word of God has called me to. You got to take off the mask of justification today. Somebody, you've been allowing some things into your life simply because most people deem it as normal. But how do you go from not conforming to what's normal? There's only one way: transformation. You've got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I'm calling us to rip the mask off justification in our language, in our life, in our behaviors, in our perception of ourselves. I'm calling us to rip off the mask of what our culture says is normal. I've got to be okay being abnormal. I've got to be okay with it. Why? Because if I follow what's normal, I'm going to conform to whatever the world is doing, but I want righteousness. We've got to rip off the mask. I'm calling someone to rip off the mask of entertainment today. I'm not saying don't have fun. Please don't misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm telling you, if you're not careful, lust will get into your home wearing the cheap mask of entertainment. Be aware. Be wise to the enemy's devices: deception, lies, disguises. That's all he does. And if you're not careful, it will consume you because it's a monster in a mask. And finally, I'm calling all of us, take off the mask of tomorrow. I am not promised tomorrow. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to bring the realization. I need to live in a way that I would say, Lord, I am not going to call my inaction deferred action. No, you are not acting. You are not doing what God has called you to do. Stop saying, I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to do it tomorrow. Don't stop saying, well, I'm going to just do better by my wife tomorrow. I'm going to treat my kids better tomorrow. No, stop making those excuses. It's a mask. And God has called you to more than that. And in a moment, I'm going to push you to pray. I want to call this entire church to a place of repentance and prayer and searching to say, Lord, if there is something in my life that is unholy or even unhealthy and it's wearing a mask, please rip the mask off of it so that I can see what it is, so that I can get it out of my house. I truly believe that you are trying to protect your house. I don't think you have bad intentions, but what I'm saying is, could it be that the enemy has slipped in under disguise and you don't see him for what he is? Can we shake ourselves and say, Lord, search me and know me, and if there's a masked monster in my home, rip the mask off today, and I promise I will respond accordingly. But that's a work that only God can do. So right now, I want to pray over you, and then I'm going to open these altars for us to come and pray and repent. Lord, I pray over every person. Lord, you see that we justify our own words or actions, but God, that is a mask that you are calling us to take off today. Lord, you see somebody that they've allowed some things in their life because it seems normal to everybody else. Lord, you've called us to righteousness, to die to sin and live for righteousness. God, there may be somebody, they've allowed lust or different things to enter their life through the mask of entertainment. And yes, Lord, I want us to have a good time in our life, but I want us to see things for what they are. And finally, Lord, let us not wear the mask of tomorrow. Let me decide today. I will act today. I will live for you today in Jesus' name. Oh, would you come? Would you come and repent before the Lord? This is an appeal for everybody, whether you're brand new or you've been in church your whole life. If you want to pray right where you are, that's fine as well. I'm not pressuring you. I'm trying to press you. Oh, God, take the mask off today and let God heal you. Let God lead you. Let God direct you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.